Hi, my name is Daniel Garber, and I review movies every Friday morning for CulturalMining.com and Take 5, CIUT 89.5 FM. Today, I'm going to look at the appeal of going over the top and review some movies that attempt to scale new heights, all films that are playing now or are opening soon. I get the impression that a director wants to get noticed, tries to up the quotient a bit by including more violence, especially more unexpected violence, or more sex, especially outside the mainstream, or more explicit than what you see in most mainstream movies. So people will be a bit shocked, a bit dismayed, a bit distressed. That's nothing new. What is new is that the boundaries of what used to be shocking is so far beyond what it was a decade ago or even 5 years ago. So the sex or violence alone isn't enough. To really shock, they want to have kids or old people or women or pets either committing the violence or having it done to them. And what used to be the push for celebrities and famous actors to show more flesh on film has now shifted to a push for actors to show explicit sex on film. What used to be a bit of blood now is a flood of blood. At the same time, the openness to a broad range of opinions and language that really expanded into the mainstream in the 60s and 70s seems to have been scaled back, especially over the past decade. Dirty words are okay now, troubling ideas less so. I'm going to review three comic book-like movies that are in some way edgy in the over-the-topness of their stories, ideas, explicitness, or language. The Square, an Australian movie directed by Nash Edgerton, has more mullets than you can shake a stick at. A contractor, Raymond, agrees to install a large concrete square in a building development and arranges to get a kickback from a supplier. He has a good job, success, money, marriage, big house, and even a much younger mistress, Carla. And they all live in the same area, some in mansions, some in shacks, on the banks of a wide bucolic river. Life's beautiful. But one day, Carla discovers her bearded, abusive husband has a hidden bag of slightly stained cash. Lots of it. So she manages to convince Ray to come on board her scheme of somehow stealing it in a way that can't be traced back to her. They secretly hire a shady guy, well, actually everyone in this movie is a bit shady, to burn down the house. Of course, something goes wrong, so now Happy Ray has everything and everyone lined up against him. The square he's building is sinking, and he has to fend off his contractor, his employees, his boss, the shady arsonist, the womanizing kickback guy, the conniving mistress, the low-life mullet brigade colleagues of her bearded husband, and a mystery person, sending him creepy cards telling him, "I know what you did." So Ray starts to unravel, suspecting everyone, which devolves into a series of linked, unplanned deaths. It gets stranger and stranger as the movie goes on, to the point where the audience starts cracking up at all the misguided violence. I think the director wanted to go too far, and he did. And I think the movie sort of pulled it off. It's definitely a B movie, maybe a C, but it kept my attention and interest. The acting was fun across the board, though it was hard to deeply sympathize with anyone. And I thought some of the dodgier elements looked more like espresso bar bohemian actors than ruthless killers. Finally, there are a few great, unforgettable scenes in The Square that make it worthwhile. A Christmas picnic in the park with its miscommunication leading to a panicky Santa is unforgettable. And for a Canadian, just seeing a Christmas party in the middle of an Aussie summer is whack. Kick-Ass, which you may have heard of, directed by Matthew Vaughn and based on a graphic novel by Mark Miller and John Romita Jr., is a great retake of the classic superhero origin-style comic book, as in Spider-Man, Superman, Batman. It's about Dave, played by Aaron Johnson, a high school boy who's tired of the undesirable combination. Invisible to girls, but a magnet to bullies and muggers. So after a typical round of complaining to his pals, Dave decides to do something about it. He fashions himself a superhero outfit from stuff he buys online and practices poses and punches in front of his bedroom mirror. And he lucks out. A fight with some hoods is captured on his cell phone and instantly goes viral. Kick-Ass is born. He gets lots of hits on his Kick-Ass Facebook, but his own life is unchanged, just full of difficult secrets. Gangsters believe he's moving in on their territory and want to snuff him. The girl he has a crush on thinks he's gay, and other kids everywhere are copycatting his costume. So when he encounters some real superheroes, Hit Girl, played by Chloe Moritz, and Big Daddy, played by Nicolas Cage, he is shocked back into reality. These real heroes were also amassing huge amounts of weapons and money that they steal from drug dealers. And Kick-Ass is getting blamed for all of it. Tiny 12-year-old Hit Girl is almost a ninja in her speed, skill, and ruthlessness, with a shocking moral code different from conventional superhero comic books. Real-life superheroes, similar to the ones in Watchmen but done much better here, are not the good role models they used to be. If you just follow the story and characters, it seems just like a typical teen comedy with a twist, but it's actually a superhero action movie with great comic elements. It is yet another morally ambiguous, extremely bloody and violent movie, but it does manage to avoid one annoying and pervasive element. There are no girls calling out to their boyfriends to save them. The girls in this movie follow the Buffy the Vampire Slayer model. Either they're superheroes themselves, or they're self-assured regular people who, when push comes to shove, are ready and able to fight back to kick ass themselves. That alone makes this an above-par movie, and a reason for there to be more female scriptwriters like Jane Goldman. We're in the midst of film festival season in Toronto. Coming up in May, there's Hot Docs and North by Northeast, and right now it's the end of the Toronto Jewish Film Festival. One of the most interesting topics they're covering is comics. And of these films, nothing can compare to the well-known, but seldom seen on the big screen, Fritz the Cat, directed by the legendary Ralph Bakshi. Fritz the Cat was the first animated film to receive an X rating in the U.S. This was back in the early 70s. And to understand it, you have to consider it in context, the period in which it was made. The story is about a hep cat, Fritz, who's a hip cat. He's a cat. He's a university student at the peak of the baby boomers' take on the 60s in downtown New York City. He's sick of studying and going to classes, so he sets out on a journey to experience life. So we follow him from Washington Square Park, where he tries to pick up girls by impressing them with his lame guitar playing. He ends up at a pot party, which soon devolves into romping group sex in a bathtub. He later falls in with a crow, steals a car, has sex, takes drugs, falls in with some bikers and revolutionary terrorists who want him to blow things up. Fritz is sort of a Cheshire cat, but dressed like a college student trying to be cool. The crows look suspiciously like the magpies Heckle and Jekyll. This was a TV cartoon series made by Terry Toons, where Bakshi worked in the 50s at the start of his career. I wonder if Heckle and Jekyll was his inspiration here. In this movie, the cats and rabbits live downtown while the crows, well, they live in Harlem. The pigs, of course, are a bumbling team of cops, an old-timer and his new partner. And there are lizards, a cow, a biker chick, and other cats and dogs. Most of them, especially the big-bottom women in overalls, are icons of the great cartoonist Robert Crumb, who was also a sort of an underground comic superstar at the time. So this movie captures a lot of Crumb's relaxed hippie sexuality, but also Bakshi's sort of terrifyingly nihilistic and misogynistic view of a violent world. So there's lots of sex, lots of wah-wah-wah-wah music, drugs, four-letter words, and very bloody, senseless death, none of which was ever seen at the time in an animated American movies, though it's not so unusual now. So Fritz the Cat is a step back into a defunct microcosm of that era. Just a review, today I talked about the Australian mystery thriller The Square and the comic book drama Kick-Ass, both now playing, check your listings, and the animated X-rated movie from the early 70s, Fritz the Cat, playing at the Bloor Cinema this weekend only. This is Daniel Garber talking about movies every Friday on Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.